it's a special privilege for me to be here as well, to return back home after all these years. I've never lost my feeling of connection and affection for Yeshivat Shalvim, which I used to describe during the time that I was learning here as Shangri-La, which is the term that is utilized in literature for an environment which is completely utopian in nature, where basically I felt who could ask for anything more than what is provided at Shalavim, where you have all of your needs provided for in a beautiful setting, a physically and spiritually beautiful environment, with a wonderful Rashi Yeshiva, Ramim, a wonderful Hanhala that, that cares deeply about every single Talmud. And I was really just able to sit and learn in an undisturbed and unfettered fashion, to take advantage of these opportunities in life, as many of you are. Your Shana Aleph, Shana Beis, you're taking you know, an additional year of advantage. It's really a tremendous tremendous learning environment. You have to sit and learn when you have the opportunity not to have any distractions. In my day, not only were there no distractions in terms of having to worry about other obligations or responsibilities in life, whether familial or otherwise, but it was also an environment where we didn't have the same temptations that you have nowadays with text messaging and cell phones, where basically you called your parents in America, you know, maybe once every 5 months or so, just to make sure everybody was still there. But other than that, you really didn't even talk on the phone to anybody. It was just basically interaction with the other Talmidim and with your Sfarim and with your Rebbeim. So to the degree that type of learning environment can be recaptured even in modern technological times, it's something which I strongly encourage, with obviously the appropriate contact that's warranted by, you know, keep it out of aim obligations, that goes without saying. But certainly one should take advantage of the opportunity to learn without distractions. So the topic that I wanted to speak to you briefly about today is one that I assume that you're already learning about in yeshiva, and that you've probably heard shiurim on anyway. So if I'm repeating what you've already learned, then it'll be a good chazara, and if there's anything different, so you'll have a context for it, which is the sugya of Edi Mesira Karti. My own personal experience basically with the sugya is not only in terms of learning in the text of the Gemara, but for 10 years before I took over as the menahel of the dean of Yeshiva at Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, I worked as the menahel, the director of the Beth Din of America, which is the largest rabbinical court in the United States, perhaps the largest rabbinical court outside of Eretz Yisrael, where we not only learned about Gittin, but we actually took care of over 300 Gittin a year. So we got to, you know, practice Edi Mesira Karti in the real world, which is, of course, that every single get, once it's authorized by the husband, and it's written and signed by the Edi Chasima, the sine qua non of kosher get is that it has to be delivered by the husband to the wife in front of Edi Mesira, in front of two Edim who witnessed the delivery of the get from the husband into the wife's hands. So this issue of Edi Mesira Karti is actually such a fundamental issue in Maseches Gittin that it is pretty much, you know, the only concept which is assumed by the Gemara as being known to everyone who is picking up the Masechta for the first time. It's almost as if there's a presumption that one has run through at least Mishnayos Gittin or some of the concepts of Gittin before you've opened the first daf of the Gemara, because in daf of Gimel Amid Beis, the Gemara is trying to figure out who the Mishnah is going according to, when the Mishnah indicates that there's an obligation of saying both the funny nectar and funny nachtam, according to the Shita Rabbah, who says that the reason why a shliach who brings a get medinas liyam la'aretz Yisrael says b'fani nektar b'fani nektar is because we should fish aim akin l'shma, because we want to make sure everything was done l'shma properly. So b'fani nektar is then indicative of b'fani nektar l'shma, and b'fani nektar is indicative of b'fani nektar l'shma in one fashion or another. So the Gemara asks, who is this going like? Who would be the Tana who would require both kesiva lishma and chasima lishma. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be going like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, would be of the opinion, presumably, that the what needs to be lishma, whereas the essence of the get would be the chasima, because you need chasima by kesiva lo by. And then the Gemara goes on to say, well, and if it's going like Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that Kasima Bai and Chasima Lobai, Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that you would only need Kasima Lishma, but not necessarily Chasima Lishma. So the Gemara doesn't tell you what the context is necessarily of the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. It just says, E Rabbi Elazar, Kasima Bai, Chasima Lobai. So the Gemara's implicit assumption is that everybody who's learning the sugya is already familiar on some level with the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar regarding Eide Chasima Karti ve Eide Chasima Karti. That Rabbi Meir, who holds Eide Chasima Karti, interprets the pasuk in the Torah that says the cost of lost sefer krisus, the husband has the right of sefer krisus, as meaning that the ikar of the writing of the get is not the kesiva seget, but rather the chasima seget. Since the ikar is the chasima seget, because he holds Eide Chasima Karti, it's the Eide Chasima who really creates the chetza of the get. Therefore, when the Torah says mekasav, it's really going mekasav, and since we derive lishma from mekasav law implies lishma, mekasav law lishma, that again has to be written lishma specifically for the purpose of the wife. We hold that it means that there are three elements of lishma, right? It has to be written specifically for the husband, specifically for the wife, specifically for the purpose of divorce. So since Rabbi Meir holds that the bekasav is essentially bekasam, that it's the chasima, that is the ikar, so therefore it would be the bekasav la lishma must mean according to Rabbi Meir bekasam la lishma, that the chasima would have to be lishma, but not necessarily the chasim lishma. And according to Rabbi Elazar, who is of the opinion that Eide Mesir Karti, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that chasima is not of great moment or significance to Rabbi Elazar, but rather it is the delivery of the get in front of the Eidim that is a great moment. So he has no reason to interpret the words of the pasuk because of law in any other way than according to Pashup Shad of because of means what? It means right. That the get has to be written in the Shema. So therefore Rabbi Elazar will be able to understand the Mikra Kipshuto, the pasuk, the word, and its very simple form of Bikasav, and would therefore be of the opinion that when we learn because of law lishma, it means that the actual tzima has to be lishma, but not necessarily the chasima lishma. And this is all predicated upon whether you're of the opinion, like Rabbi Elazar of the Eidim Mesir Karti, that it's the Eidim witnesses who witness the delivery of the get to effectuate the get, or whether you're of the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that Eidim Chasima Karti, that it is the witnesses who sign the get, who basically are the main instruments towards the validity of the get, although obviously even Rabbi Meir would agree that at the very least the husband has to then take the get and deliver the get into his wife's hands, because that's also gzeiras hakasuv, since the Torah says v'nasan v'yadah, but he's not of the opinion that the Eide Mesira are the ones who are the primary effectors of the validity of the get. So this is our introduction to the world of Eide Mesira Karti v'Eide Chasima Karti. So it's a nice introduction, but it would follow from this Gemara that the Mishnah is not going according to either Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, well, it could be it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold that you have both the ksiva, the writing of the get, has to be the Shema, and the chasima, the signing of the get, has to be the Shema. But the Gemara then says, well, since we know that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar begitin, that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar when it comes to getin, so therefore we're going to try to figure out how we can explain the Mishnah even according to Rabbi Elazar. This, the basic principle is the Kaimalan halachic Rabbi Elazar begitin. That's the Gemara and Dav Dalid Amud Aleph, and that's the reason why we explain the Mishnah even according to work according to Rabbi Elazar. So how then does the Mishnah work according to Rabbi Elazar? So the way that the Mishnah works according to Rabbi Elazar is that we understand why Rabbi Elazar requires kesiva lishma, because he holds that kasav law is going on the kesiva. He doesn't hold that there is any special purpose to the chasima, but why then, according to Rabbi Elazar, do you require chasima lishma? So says Rabbi Abba, adab dalim an aleph, modeh Rabbi Elazar b'mizuyach mitaycho shehu pasul. Rabbi Elazar agrees that if I have a get which is mizuyach mitayicho, that would be possible. What does that mean? Meaning that really, according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need to have witnesses sign the get at all. But in the event that witnesses did in fact sign the get, Rabbi Elazar would be of the opinion that it would have to be signed lishma, that the get would have to be signed lishma for the purpose of the woman, for the purpose of divorce, and otherwise it would be considered as if there was a fatal flaw in the get document by virtue of it having a psul, something which is intrinsically invalid in the get, and therefore, although you would have been okay had you not had the signatures at all, but if you have the signatures and they are signed shelo lishma, not for the purpose of the get, to this woman, then that would be considered to be possible according to Rabbi Elazar, and that explains why even the chasima, assuming you have a chasima, has to be lishma according to Rabbi Elazar. Now, this concept of moide Rabbi Elazar and mizuyach mitayicho shehu pasul raises the following question. So according to Rabbi Elazar, then, is it merely optional to have chasimos in a get, or is it recommended to have chasimos in a get? So later on, we have the mission that says, Gamliel says that the reason why Edom sign on the get is because of Tikkun HaOlam. So what does Tikkun HaOlam mean, according to Rabbi Elazar? Is this something which makes it into a drabbanon? Deraisa, you don't need for the witnesses to sign the get, but drabbanon, you do need it, or is it something else? So if you look at the Gemara on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara seems to indicate that it's not even a drabbanon. Why is that? Because the Gemara suggests, well, maybe when we say that the mission, when we are trying to figure out if the mission is going like Rabbi Elazar, so the Gemara suggests, well, maybe Rabbi Elazar doesn't require the get to be signed by witnesses on a deraisa level, but maybe he does require it on a derabbanan level, and that's why the Mishnah would say that you have to say before neftam lishma. Since Rakhilo boy Rabbi Elazar chasim lishma midaraisa midrabbanan boy, maybe he requires it midrabbanan. So then the Gemara contradicts that by saying, but we have the question about shloisha gittim psulin. We have the case of three, that there are three types of gittin which are psulin, okay, derabbanan, and they're only possible on a derabbanan level. The haraya that if such a get was done, then the woman b'di'evid would be, then a child who would be born would not be a mamzer. So we see it's not possible on a deraisa level, because then a child that would be born subsequent to the get would be a mamzer, and here we say the child is not a mamzer. And one of the types of gittin that are mentioned is a get that does not have eidim. And Rabbi Elazar comes along, and Rabbi Elazar says, nah, even even though it doesn't have eidim, as long as the way eidim is seen, as long as the get was given in front of eidim, it's kosher. Rabbi Elazar is arguing on cases that b'di'evid are okay anyway, showing that they're only a drabbanan. So Rabbi Elazar, therefore, is coming along to say, says Tosfos, Diba Maskel Rabbi Elazar, and Dav Gimel Amud Beis. So we see from here that Rabbi Elazar doesn't even require eidim chasima on a drabbanan level, because otherwise Rabbi Elazar wouldn't argue with three cases which are clearly only on a drabbanan level. And Rabbi Elazar says that even on a drabbanan level, where the case scenario there, why Rabbi Meir would be machshir, is because the case which doesn't have eidim, why would that be kashya b'di'evid, according to Rabbi Meir, says eidim chasima karti, is talking about when you have something which, according to Rabbi Meir, would be as good as a chasima, and that's the ksav yado of the Baal. The Baal wrote to get himself. If it was a ksav sofer, so then Rabbi Meir would say that it would be possible even b'di'evid, it should be possible in the Torah, according to Rabbi Elazar, according to Rabbi Meir. But we see from here that even on a derabbanan level, Rabbi Elazar does not require eidim chasima. In fact, if you look in the Beis Yosef in Siman Kuf Lamed Gimel in the Shulchan Aruch says quite explicitly that according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Eidei Chasima are not even required lechatchila, and the idea that we say that the Eidim sign on the get Pei Tikkun Olam is just basically what we would describe as an Eitzah Tovah. What does it mean, an Eitzah Tovah? What's an Eitzah Tovah? An Eitzah Tovah basically means it's a good idea. Why is it a good idea? Because in the event that the Eidim Masiva would disappear, either they would die, or they would go off on Medina Sayyam, so we wouldn't be able to find them. So then the only way in which we would be able to be makshir to get would be through the Eidei Chasima. So that's why, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's a good idea to have the Eidei Chasima. What do you mean? That we'll be able to be makshir to get based on the Eidei Chasima according to Rabbi Elazar. How are you makshir to get through the Eidei Mesira through the Eidei Chasima according to Rabbi Elazar? So Tosa says in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph that what this means is that if you have Eidei Chasima who sign the get, so Eidei Chasima basically are representatives of the notion that whenever you have Eidim that are chasumim al ashtar, the nasakim shenekra idusim bebesdin, that's the din of Reish Lakish, it's considered as if they have been fully investigated and fully evaluated and that everything that is signed is true. So part of what a get is made is that everything must have been done properly, so therefore, says Tosos, the assumption is hakol behechshe nase, that even though I don't have Eidei Mesira b'fanenu, even though we do not have the Eidei Mesira to examine and interrogate as to whether in fact there were Eidei Mesira, if I have Eidei Chasima signed on the get, then the assumption is that they are testifying that everything was done properly, and I can assume that the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira. That is the Shita of Tosfos. I can assume that the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira once I have Eidei Chasima, but the Tikkun HaOlam of having Eidei Chasima does not remove the obligation, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says Eidei Mesira Karatim, to have Eidei Mesira. Even if you have Eidei Chasima, you still need Eidei Mesira. Ah, so what if you gain from having Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar? What you gain is that if there are Eidei Chasima on the get, then I can assume that HaKol B'Hekshe Naaseh, that everything was done properly. And this would be the advantage of Eidei Chasima. So let's say then that I have the Eidei Mesira in front of me, and the Eidei Mesira are able to testify, yes, the get was given in front of us. So I don't need the Eidei Chasima anymore. So why then does Rabbi Abba say the Moed of Rabbi Elazar Mesuyif Mitoicho? Why then, according to Rabbi Elazar, is there a problem if the Eidei Chasima did not sign the get l'shma according to Rabbi Elazar? So Tosfos asked this question on Da'am and Alf and Dibam Maskim Moed of Rabbi Elazar Mesuyif Mitoicho, and Tosfos makes a very salient point, which is that if the Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, at the end of the day, don't really effectuate the get, because ultimately it's the Eidei Mesira that are doing it, and the only advantage of the Eidei Chasima is that the Eidei Mesira aren't around, so the Eidei Chasima, so I have Eidei Chasima, so I can assume HaKol B'Hekshe Naaseh, and if the get was given over in front of Eidei Mesira, so then in such a case, what am I worried about with respect to the Eidei Chasima? If I would say the Eidei Chasima could accomplish the get by themselves, so then I might be worried that if I have that if they that I would rely upon their chasimas alone and say that these chasimas, even though they're invalid because they were not lishma, are going to effectuate the get. But I'm not in fact relying on the Eidei Chasima alone. I'm relying on the Eidei Mesira. Even when I have Eidei Chasima, according to Rabbi Elazar, I'm relying on the Eidei Chasima. So therefore, what's the problem, says Tosfos, with the fact that they happen to sign shelo lishma? So answers Tosfos. Tosfos gives a very difficult answer that, well, still we should make a gzeira chasima to ksiva. That since Rabbi Elazar agrees that the ksiva, the writing of the get, is not allowed to be the shema, so I have to be worried that if I allowed a situation to pass where the chasimas of the Eidim, where the Eidim signed shalom the shema, so then I have to be worried that the ksiva won't be done the shema either, and that's the reason why I have to pasul the get. But that's very difficult within this understanding of Rabbi Elazar. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the requirement for Eidei Mesira is such a strong requirement that even Rabbi Meir requires Eidei Mesira. So what then is the Shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbeinu Tam? The Shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbeinu Tam is that basically, Eidei Chasima Karati, that I need both Eidei Mesira and I need Eidei Chasima. According to Rabbi Meir, I need Eidei Chasima because Eidei Chasima constitute the essence of the get. The cost of law is going on the Chasima, and therefore I need Eidei Chasima. If I don't have Eidei Chasima, I don't have a valid get, according to Rabbi Meir. But I need Eidei Mesiva for a separate reason. What's the separate reason, according to Rabbeinu Tam? It's a Dovah Shebe'erva. The Gemara says, right? A get's given over, it's a Dovah Shebe'erva. I am releasing a woman who is an Eishes Ish, and I am now freeing her to the world. So whenever I have a consummation of a Dovah Shebe'erva, that requires the witnessing of two witnesses with respect to the actual maaseh that completes the transaction. Here, the transaction is completed when the husband takes the get and he hands it into his wife's hands. So even Rabbi Meir would agree, says Rabbeinu Tam Davdal, I'm an al tiba mashto de kaimalon. Even Rabbeinu Tam, even Rabbi Meir would agree that you require eidei mesiva in addition to the eidei chasima. So we have what? We have, so far, Shitas HaTosfos within Rabbi Elazar. That says what? That according to Rabbi Elazar, you require Eidei Mesiva no matter what. And even when you have Eidei Chasima, that's only to reassure me that even if the Eidei Mesiva aren't around, once I see the Eidei Chasima, I can say, Akol Be'Akshadas, everything was done properly, so I know that there were Eidei Mesiva, but if Eidei Mesiva are a sine qua non, according to Rabbi Elazar, even though according to Rabbi Elazar, I don't need Eidei Chasima at all. Okay? That's the shita number one. Then I have Rabbeinu Tam within Rabbi Meir who says that not only are Eidei Mesiva required according to Rabbi Elazar, but even according to Rabbi Meir who says I absolutely need Eidei Chasima, I need Eidei Mesiva as well. So it comes out then, you have Rabbi Elazar according to Tosfos who says, I need Eidei Mesiva, I don't necessarily need Eidei Chasima. And I have the Shita of Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Natan, who says, I need Eidei Mesiva, I need Eidei Chasima, and I also need Eidei Mesiva. Comes along the Rif with a third Shita within Rabbi Elazar. The Rif says, within Rabbi Elazar, the Rif brings a Raya from a Gemara later on in Perek HaMigaresh, that Rabbi Elazar's shita must be that when he says Eidei Mesiva Karti, what he really means is that you can have either Eidei Mesiva or you can have Eidei Chasima. That when the Gemara says that Rabbi or the Mishnah says that the Eidei Chasima, the Eidim Chosman Al Gev Nei Tikun Olam, that means that if I only have the Chasima Eidim and I don't have Eidei Mesiva at all, nonetheless the get is going to be a kosher get. Why is it going to be a kosher get? Because Eidei Mesiva Karti. Rabbi Elazar is saying Eidei Chasima are perfectly fine. Eidei Chasima will work. But if you have Eidei Mesiva, so that's better yet. Because it says the Rif. The Rif says that Ikar Agerishin is through the Eidei Mesiva, according to Rabbi Elazar. That's the idea of Eidei Mesiva Karti, that this is the Ikar Agerishin, this is the essence. But in Achinami, if I only have Eidei Chasima, so Eidei Chasima would be good enough as well, according to the Rif. Well, if I hold like the Rif, then Eidei Chasima would be good as well. So then, at the very least, I understand why Moda Rabbi Elazar Mizliyach Mitoicho. Because why is it that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Mizliyach Mitoicho? Rabbi Elazar would agree with Mizliyach Mitoicho that if a get was signed by Eidim Shelo Lishma, that should be no good. You know why? Because you have the right to rely upon those Eidim alone. You won't need Eidim Mesiva in such a case, according to the Rif. And therefore, if you're going to rely on these Eidim alone, and these are going to be the real Eidim of the get, so then the get is there's a requirement that the get be Lishma. And if I don't have Eidim Mesiva, I only have Eidim Chasima. So I understand why Moda Rabbi Elazar Mitzuyah Mitaycho, why Rabbi Elazar would agree that is no good. So that would be a support for the shita of the Rif. However, asks the Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Goyim, on the shita of the Rif, that it doesn't fit within Rabbi Elazar because Rabbi Elazar says very clearly, Eidei Mesiva Karti. According to the Rif, what should Rabbi Elazar have said rather than Eidei Mesiva Karti? He should have said, Eidei Mesiva Karti. He should have said that even Eidei Mesiva Karti, not only are Eidei Chasima, Masima good enough, but Eide Masiva aren't good enough as well. So to this, there are a couple of possible answers, though. One is the answer given by the Ramban. The Ramban says, no, why Rabbi Elazar couldn't say, Ach, Eide Masiva Karti? I gave away the answer a little earlier when I was giving the shita, when I was explaining the shita of Rabbi Meir according to Rabbi Nadav. Because Ach could have a different connotation, namely, that you need both. But Rabbi Elazar is not saying that you need both. Rabbi Elazar would be saying that you need one or the other. That basically, either you need Eide Masiva, or you need Eide Chasima. And there's another explanation as well, which is provided by the Ramban, which is that the Rif says a very interesting lashon. When the Rif says that according to Rabbi Elazar, even Eide Chasima would be good enough, and not Eide, without Eide Masiva, the Rif makes a special point of saying that Iker HaGerushin, that the Eide Masiva represents the Iker of the Gerushin. I'll give you the exact lashon of the Rif. The Rif says the Eide Masiva are considered to be the Ikar. So why are they? So if they are the Ikar, so I would have another reason why I would understand that I could not say Ap Eide Masiva Karti, because it's not equivalent to the Eide Chasima. Eide Chasima could be relied upon, but Eide Chasima cannot are only a secondarily good approach after having Eide Masiva. If you say Ap, then you're making the two of them equivalent. You're making it sound that Eide Chasima are just as good as Eide Masiva. In fact, Eide Masiva are better than Eide Chasima. Why are Eide Masiva better than Eide Chasima? So the Ramban explains that there's a tremendous advantage to having the Eide Masiva, because if I am going to rely on the Eide Chasima, so then a woman is going to have to watch her get at all times in order to make sure that she will be able to display the get with the Eidim, so that we can be Mekayim the Chasimas of the Eidim and show that they are in fact good Chasimas. Well, if she has the Eidim Masiva, so once the Eidim Masiva testify that she received the get, she doesn't have to worry about holding on to her get or preserving her get anymore. It's all testified, it's all taken care of. She doesn't have to worry about preserving the actual get itself. That's one possible explanation as to what the Rif might have in mind when the Rif says that the Eide Masiva are the Ikar, that the Eide Masiva are the essence of the get. The Kasha that's asked against the Rif, there are a number of Kashas. You look in the Rosh. The Rosh has a number of Kashas from different Gemaras against the Shita of the Rif, who understands Eide Masiva Karti as meaning either Eide Chasima are good enough or Eide Masiva are good enough. In fact, if you look at Rashi, on Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis, Rashi clearly articulates, in Dibur HaMaskil Rabbi Elazar Hi, Rashi clearly articulates the notion that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir are on completely opposite planes, meaning that according to Rabbi Meir, Eide Chasima are good enough and you don't need Eide Masiva against Rabbeinu Tam, and that according to Rabbi Elazar, Eide Masiva are always needed and Eide Chasima would never be sufficient against the Shita of the Rif. So one of the kashas that's asked on the Rif, one of the killer kashas against the Rif, is from the Gemara, from the Mishnah, also in Perek HaMigoresh, on Daf Pei Bav Amud Beis, with respect to Shnayim Sheshalchu Shnei Gittin Shavin. If I have two people who sent two identical Gittin, two husbands sent two identical Gittin, the names of the husbands were the same, the names of the wives were the same, and then you know what happened to the two Gittin? They got mixed up. They got mixed up, so we don't know which get to give to which wife. So says the Mishnah, I have an easy solution for you. Now he's saying, Shneim Lazu. Give both Gittin to both wives. This way we can be assured, right, that each husband gives both Gittin to both wives. This way we can be assured that each wife received the gift that was intended for her from her husband. So therefore, that's an easy solution. So says the Gemara, this clearly cannot be going like Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion of Eide Masiva Karti, and therefore there is an essential need for the Eide Masiva to know that that the right get is going into the wife's hands. When they witness the get that is specifically intended for that wife, they have to know which get is intended for that wife, because they are the Eidim that are essentially verifying they have to have exact awareness of what is going on when the get is given over into the wife's hands. So asks the the Rosh, how can it be that we would paskin according? How can it be that the Gemara says it can't be going according to Rabbi Elazar? According to the Rif, that we can rely on the Eidei Chasima, even according to Rabbi Elazar, so we have a very simple solution. Just like the Gemara assumes that this Mishnah works according to Rabbi Meir, says Eidei Chasima Karati, because at least the witnesses who signed the get knew which get they were signing. So Rabbi Elazar also can say that although I don't have proper Eidei Mesira in this case because they don't know which is the correct get, nonetheless, I can rely on the Eidei Chasima, just like Rabbi Meir. So the fact that Gemara says that according to Rabbi Elazar it's not going to work shows that he is of the opinion that you cannot rely on the Chasima, and therefore the get should not be valid. Therefore the get should work, even according to Rabbi Elazar, because I should be able to rely on the Eidei Chasima. So the Ran explains that all of this is based on a fundamental misunderstanding of the Rif. Says the Ran, you know why the Rif doesn't say Af Eidei Mesira Karti within Rabbi Elazar? You know why the Rif says that Iker Eidei that the Iker are the Eidei Mesira? Because even when the Rif says that you don't need extra Eidei Mesira and you can rely exclusively upon the Eidei Chasima, the Rif is not discounting Eidei Mesira. What the Rif is saying is that you always need Eidei Mesira, it's just that the Eidei Chasima also serve as the Eidei Mesira. How can it be that the Eidei Chasima serve as the Eidei Mesira? So it says the Ran that it is that once the Eidim are signed on the get, and I have the tziruf of the fact that the get is now in the wife's hands, so that combination of the Eidim being signed on the get and the get being so in the wife's hands creates the yediyah, the clear knowledge, the clear knowledge that the husband must have given the get over to the wife, and therefore it is considered as if they themselves are being made on the mesira. But ultimately we're not relying on the chasima per se, we're relying on the mesira, but it's just as if the Eidei Chasima are being made on the mesira. How do you understand that? So either you understand that as a form of anan sadi, as the Avnei Miluim says in the Tzos, Avnei Miluim, same person, the Avnei Miluim says in Simen Lamed Aleph, Eben Evin Ezer, that this sort of provides us with a basis for the notion that when it comes to the contracting of the Dovash Be'erva, of Kiddushin or Gittin, you don't need actual sight in order for Eidus to be good. And he explains this, he argues with a Ma'arit, who's of the opinion that if Eidim, for example, see a Maisa Kiddushin, when a man gives a ring to a wife, to his wife, and she's bedecked with a covering of her entire head, so that you can't make out what she looks like, and the Eidim don't see her at the time that she receives the ring. So even though they see her afterwards, but she takes off the veil, and say, oh, that's what she looks like, and they see her afterwards, so it says the Ma'arit, I can't rely upon that because they didn't see the woman b'shas kedushin. So says the Avnei Miluim that we see from this Ran that when it comes to a maaseh, it's a maaseh get that he's talking about, a maaseh kedushin, that in order for the eidus to be called, they don't have to have an exact riyah. As long as they're there and they know that the maaseh occurred because they saw that the ring was given over to the woman with the heavy veil over her face, and they see afterwards too that this was in fact the woman, so as long as they have a clear idea and they saw the giving of the ring, so even though they weren't makir this particular woman, that doesn't matter because they're able to establish this through a proper idea. So too, this is the explanation of the Ran, that the Ran says, I can rely on the anansadi, that once the witnesses sign the get, so then there is an anansadi that the witnesses kind of know that together with their signing of the get, we all know from the fact that it's an unsigned that we all know from the fact that the witness is signed again and the woman is now holding the get. So we have a complete base of knowledge from which to form that there is an Eidus understanding the Ran. The alternative way of understanding the Ran is spelled out in the Stipler, the Achilles Yaakov, the Stipler Gaon gives another explanation that we don't have to understand this purely as purely an uninsati, but we can say that the Edom themselves included within any testimony of a Shtar, as we mentioned earlier, within Reish Lakish, there's Nasa, Kimishnekra, Yusuf, and Bethan, so included within any time the Edom sign a Shtar is that they are made that something, you know, let's say they sign a Shtar Havah, they might sign a Shtar Havah before the money is actually given over from the Malvah to Lovah, but it's understood that they're being made on the entire Maaseh, despite the fact that the Maaseh didn't occur yet, but their very signature is part and parcel of an Edus on whatever subsequent Maaseh need to be done as it's recorded in the Shtar. As long as it's the Get, it's recorded in the Shtar, and now I have the Tfisas Haisha of the Get, the Tfisas Baal Shtar, the Tfisa, the woman's holding on to the Get, so therefore it's considered as if the Edom themselves have been made on the on everything that's written in the Get, including the actual performance of the get, including the actual delivery of the get by the husband into the wife's hands. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi has in three places different explanations of the notion of Moedah Rabbi Elazar and Mizuyah Mitoylo. We have the Gemara on Daf Daf Yud Amud Beis talks about what if I have a get that has non-Jews signed on the get. So non-Jews are not considered to be kosher witnesses for a get. They have to be B'nai Bris. They have to be within the Parsha. They have to be within the Parsha get to be Kedushas. They can't sign on a get. So says Rabbi Shimon that if the Chasimas are Obdei Kochavim, that the get is kosher. So Gemara says, how can the get be kosher according to Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara says, no problem, Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar is, and Rabbi Elazar says, why? That I don't need the chasimas altogether, so who cares if the chasimas was signed by non-Jews? So says, well, what do you mean who cares? We just had a principle that we mentioned earlier, the Moedah Rabbi Elazar Mizuyah Mitoycho. The Rabbi Elazar is Moedah, if it's Mizuyah Mitoycho, if there's an intrinsic soul that is contained within the Chasimus, like for example, if they sign Shlo Lishma. So if they sign Shlo Lishma, it's no good. So certainly it should be no good if the witnesses were not kosher witnesses altogether. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon would say that if we were talking about a case of B'Shemus Mufakim, we're talking about where there was so clearly names, it was Christopher Nicholas, or I don't know, some name that was so clearly a name that was that of a non-Jewish person. Nowadays, every single name could be either Jewish or non-Jewish. I don't know, we have Shemus Mufakim of non-Jews anymore. You never know anymore. But it's a Shemus Mufakim. These were, it was clearly a name that could not be a Jewish person. And therefore, nobody is going to come to rely upon it. So Rashi, when dealing with this sugya on Yudam and Abbas, and when it's quoted on Tesam and Abbas, has two different explanations as to what is intended when we say Moedah Rabbi Elazar Mizuyah Mitoycho. So on Yudam and Abbas, Rashi says, Dilma Ka'asi Lemimsere Be'apayo Mismacholayo. What am I worried about for Mizuyah Mitoycho in this case? And we don't pass it like Rabbi Shimon. We paskin in this case like the Tanakam who argues with Rabbi Shimon, who would be of the opinion that even Rabbi Elazar, maybe the reasons I gave, because how do you ever know, right? But it would be of the opinion that you still have to be worried that you're going to, that it's a Mizuyah Mitoyko, there's a Mizuyah Mitoyko problem, even in the case of Shemus Mufakin. So what am I worried about? So Rashi says, I'm worried that maybe I'm going to use these witnesses, okay, who are not valid witnesses, and I'm going to use them as the aiding of Siva. That's what Rashi says on Yudam and Beis. Rashi on Tesamud Beis, however, has a different explanation. Rashi on Tesamud Beis says, Gezeira, Dilma Asi, what am I worried about from Mizuyah Mitoyko if I have invalid witnesses? Dilma Asi, Lemismach Alaya, below Ede Nasira. Maybe I'm worried that you're going to rely on them without Ede Nasira altogether. So Rashi gives one explanation, maybe I'll use these Eidim for the Eidim Mesirah, and the other explanation, well, maybe I'll rely upon these witnesses alone. So you can say that these two different dayas would fit well within the machlokes between the Rif and the Rosh. According to the Rif, that I can rely on Eidim Chasim alone, so maybe I'd be worried that if I had witnesses who signed who invalid, what's the Mesirah Mitaycho, that I might be worried that I rely on the Eidim Chasima
According to the Rosh, he says that no matter what, I always require a Din Mesira. So what am I worried about? Mesirah Mitanikol if I have invalid witnesses? I'm worried that maybe I'll end up using these witnesses as the Eidei Mesira themselves. Now, it happens that there's a third beer in Mesirah Mitanikol that is given by Rashi in Sanhedrin and Dachov Chesam and Beis. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Chuch Chesam and Beis, talks about a shtar that was presented to Rabbi Yosef that had two witnesses signed on it who were brothers-in-law with each other and therefore were potential witnesses to each other. So they went in front of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, I have a very simple solution. Rabbi Allah's Meshita is Eidei Mesirah Kanti, Bein Begitin, Bein Beshtar. This is the whole discussion of the Gemara later on when we pass like Rabbi Allah's Beshtar, it's only Begitin. We'll leave that for another time. So he said, in this case, he said, look, according to Rabbi Elazar, he was possibly like Rabbi Elazar. Don't worry about the fact that the Eidei Chasima were brothers-in-law to each other. Just give it over in front of Eidei Mesira. So Rabbi Yosef was confronted by his Talmidim, who said, how can you say such a thing? Maiden Rabbi Elazar, Mesira Mitaykel. Rabbi Elazar agrees with Mesira Mitaykel. So there Rashi says, what's the problem with Mesira Mitaykel? So there Rashi says, the problem with Mesira Mitaykel is that once I have the Shtar effectuated through the signing of the Eidei Chasima, so then, if those Eidim are invalid witnesses, then the Shtar becomes Chatz B'Biyama. Then the Shtar becomes absolutely worthless, and you no longer have a valid transactional document that can transfer property from one person to another person. Why there is the Shtar Chatz B'Biyama? So perhaps the answer is, based on the Tosfos and Dalanim and Aleph over here, says that the Shita of Tosfos is that even though Rabbi Elazar requires, according to Tosfos, Dafke Eidei Mesira, and it does not rely on there being Eidei Chasima alone, nonetheless, when it comes to Shtaros, in the case of Shtaros, where we have a principle of Hodas Baal Din, Kameh Eidei Dami, then Eidei Chasima can be good enough as well, just like Hodas Baal Din, just like a Baal Din who admits that he owes is good enough, so to Eidei can be good enough as well. And therefore, when it comes to a Shtar, the Kuli Alma Rabbi Loza would agree that Eidei Chasima can effectuate a Shtar. If Eidei Chasima can actually effectuate a Shtar, and that they are the ones who are creating the Shtar without need of Eidei Mesira altogether, then it could follow that what happens when I have invalid witnesses signing the Shtar. If I have invalid witnesses signing the Shtar, and those witnesses can completely and absolutely effectuate the Shtar, then that turns the Shtar into a worthless piece of dust. Because of the fact that since they have the power to make it into a valid Shtar, and they are completely invalid, so then at that point in time, since there's no need for Eidei Mesira altogether on the horizon, this would turn the Shtar into a nothing. So that would explain why in the context of a regular Shtar, Rashi says that the problem of Mesirah Mitaykel is that it would be Chatz B'Biyama, it would be absolutely worthless. Now, the Rambam provides for perhaps the most nuanced approach with respect to this whole notion of Eidei Mesira Karti. On the one hand, the Rambam basically holds like the Rif. And that the Rambam says that according to the way that we pass them within Rabbi Elazar, so either Eidei Mesira can be good enough, or even if you have Eidei Chasima without Eidei Mesira, so that's good enough too, says the Rambam. The Rambam brings the dissenting view who argues with the Rif, but it's clear that he just brings it as a dissenting view. Fundamentally, the Rambam takes the position, like the Rif, that even if I have Eidei Chasima, would be good enough. But like the Rif, the Rambam uses exactly the same lashon, that Ikar HaGerushin is effectuated through the Eidei Mesira. But according to the Rambam, this has halachal lemaisa ramifications. It's not mere semantics. You can't ask the question on the Rambam, why don't you say Av Eidei Mesira Karti according to the Rambam, because the Rambam actually provides for nafkaminas. The Rambam says, since Ikar HaGerushin is effectuated through the Eidei Mesira, therefore, for example, I have a halakha when it comes to most shtaros, where if a shtar that the Eidim are supposed to sign within two lines after a shtar is completed. Otherwise, I'm worried that a person's going to falsify language, they'll add language between the bottom line of the shtar and where the Eidim sign. Therefore, the distance between the last line and where the Eidim sign has to be less than two lines. Says the Rambam, however, with respect to a get, if I have two lines, distance between the where the Edom, where the Shtar ends and where the Edom side, the get is still going to be valid. Why is that? Because the Rambam says that even though I had Edom Chasima, I didn't need to have Edom Chasima, and we hold Edom Mesira Karati, and therefore, since Edom Mesira Karati and Edom Chasima aren't so important, I'm not going to passel this get because of this psul. So that's the Beis Yosef. I think he Kuf Lamed asks the following question, says, wait a second. According to the Rambam agrees that a get which is signed Shalom Lishma is possible because of Mitzvah Mitaybo. Why then does the Rambam say that when I have a separate psul in the Chasimos, namely that it's two lines, the Chasimos are a full two lines away from the end of the text of the get, why does the Rambam say that that this is not considered to be Mitzvah Mitaybo because this is the type of Chasima which I would not allow with respect to other shtaros? The Rambam actually has a separate halacha paraktes in which the Rambam goes further and says, if somebody says to a bunch of people, I want you all to sign on the get, so the Rambam says, well, if the first two people are kosher, even if everybody else afterwards is possible, the get is still kosher. The Rambam doesn't even seem to explicitly require any mitzvah at all in such a case. Not everybody who signed is kosher. So Rambam there says that because the ikka of the get is Eidei Mesira, so therefore, sounds like the Rambam is saying that Eidei Chasima, I never really have to worry too much as long as, you know, the fundamentals are met. So what distinguishes a case that we would define as Mizuyat Mitoichol from a case that we would not define as Mizuyat Mitoichol? So says the Beis Yosef that the distinction is as follows. According to the Rambam, if it's a psul which is very nicker, namely, I can see with my own eyes that they signed two lines away from the get, so therefore I know that this is a problem and I'm not going to come to rely upon it. According to the Rambam, in such a case, I'll rely upon the Edom Mesira, or I'm not going to worry that I'm going to rely upon such a thing. According to the Rambam, the bigger problem is when it is something which is not nicker, where if I look at the signatures, I would not notice the problem. So according to the Rambam, that I might rely on the Edei Chasim alone. So therefore, that is going to be a bigger problem if I can't tell if there's a problem. What's a classic case where I'm looking at the signatures and I can't tell that it's a problem? Where it was signed Shalom Lishma. So I look at it, I can't tell Shalom Lishma. So that's why in such a case, the Rambam would say it's possible. So says, Rabbi Yosef in Achacham Agon in Yibia Omer, in the Shias of Shus Yibia Omer, Chelik Beis, Simon Yudalin. So Rabbi Yosef points out a very important halacha l'maaseh distinction that we can derive from this the yesod of the Beis Yosef. He's talking about the following case where one of the witnesses signed his name and signed the name wrong. His name was Yosef. Chaim, and he signed it Yosef for some reason. So in such a case, he quotes from one of the, I think it was the Stechem, and I'm not 100% sure, who brings a solution to the problem that you have the aid erase the fey. And then make a mem sofit out of the last yud, keep the, second to last yud, he's making Yosef into Chaim, so keep the second to last yud, make it from the vav of Yosef, scratch off the bottom of the vav and make that into a yud, and then just put a ches in front of it so you'll get the Chaim. So after Rabbi Yosef, you have a problem. In fact, some poskim say that this would be a psul of chok tochos, because there's a halacha in Gittin, we're going to explain on in the chops, that because of below the chokok, that the get has to be written and can't be chiseled out. So included within that it can't be chiseled out is that I can't make a small letter out of an existing big letter. So I can't chisel out a vav to erase part of it to turn it into a yud, because then I haven't written the yud. I've created the yud through an erasure of another letter. So why would that be okay? So if he wants to be machadish, the chok toikos would be okay with respect to a get. So says Ravadi Yosef, well, this really depends. If I say that it's something which is not nicker, so then if I hold like the Rambam that that even Eidei Chasima would be good, because the Pasuk like Rabbi Elazar and the Rambam holds that both Eidei Chasima and Eidei Chasima would be good. So then the Rambam would say that the less nicker the problem is, the more it should be puzzled, because then I might come to rely upon the Chasima alone, and therefore if it's not nicker, the Avidavka should hold that that is not good, that that is a problem, so you have to be toiko. But if I hold that Eidei Mesira Karti means only Eidei Mesira Karti, so then the more explicit the psul, the bigger the problem. Because what's the problem if I hold the Eidei, if I say Mesira Mitoiko, if I say Eidei Mesira Karti, if the problem if I say only Eidei Mesira Karti is not that I'm going to rely upon this alone, but that this somehow creates an intrinsic problem within the get itself. The bigger the psul, the more in other instances I might rely upon this psul outside of this particular occasion. So therefore, the more nicker it is, the more a person might say, oh, so then I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to do chok tochos, whatever it is. So then it would be the more nicker it is, so then the bigger problem it is, and the less nicker it is, then the lesser problem it would be if I hold only Eidei Mesira Karti. It appears from the halakhic literature that our assumption is, we paskin halakha l'maiseh like the Rosh, that only Eidei, and like Tosfos, that only Eidei Mesira Karti, meaning that we pass like Rabbi Elazar, you could only rely on Eidei Mesira. Even if there are Eidei Chasima, we don't say the Eidei Chasima service the Eidei Mesira, and we certainly don't say that the Eidei Chasima can be relied upon alone. So we hold Eidei Mesira Karti, according to this Chakira of Raja Yosef, it should follow that the more nicker a particular psul, the bigger within the Chasimos, so then the bigger the problem will be with respect to Mesira Mitoicho, and the less nicker something is, then the more room there is to be lenient with respect to Eidei Chasima as a general principle. How this plays out, halacha l'maaseh, will be a totally separate discussion. There's more to say on the subject, but I've gone past my time, so I just want to wish you all a good evening, and it's a pleasure to spend time here with you and see yourself. There's a better solution, which is that he could turn his rug into wheat. That's a problem, though. That would become a problem. If it's the text of the get itself, it's a problem. If I take one letter and I chisel it out into another letter, I'm writing the letter, I'm creating the letter.
Chisel.
And if it works, I'm like, it's there, someone that just turns off. I don't know why it's not working.
It doesn't matter. If I turn the good into a bump, I just write it.